Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And when this exchange is up and running, millions of people will get tax breaks to help them afford coverage, which represents the largest middle-class tax cut for health care in history.
You have to buy a policy that you can afford and no more showing up at the hospital expecting someone else to pay your way. For people earning less than three times federal poverty, we the state will subsidize their purchase of a policy. They choose the policy they want, we subsidize its purchase. And that way we get everybody insured.
Obama 2010, Mitt Romney 2007. And now we have a chance to get some insight into both the Obama and Romney health reform laws from someone who helped create both. Remember that the Romney reforms in 2006, when he was governor of Massachusetts, were much like the Obama reforms that Romney says should be repealed now, including the individual mandate to buy insurance. My guest, John McDonough, led a Massachusetts advocacy group at the time called Healthcare for All. He was later a top advisor on health reform to Senator Edward Kennedy. Now he teaches public health at Hunter College here in New York and at Harvard, and has a new book called Inside National Health Reform. Dr. McDonough, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
One of the amazing facts in your book that I did not know is that Governor Romney came to propose the individual mandate as a way to satisfy the Bush administration and Bush's conservative Health and Human Services Secretary, Tommy Thompson, who basically required them to try it in order to keep getting a certain kind of federal aid. Can you tell us that story?
Well, Massachusetts runs its Medicaid program, as a lot of states do, with a waiver from the federal government that allows it to do things a little differently. And through that waiver, a lot of money flows to the state in federal dollars that otherwise wouldn't be there to help pay the costs of the program. The state in 2004 was facing the loss of a significant portion of that money. And so Governor Romney and the late Senator Kennedy went to the Bush administration arm in arm and said, "Let us hold on to this money, and if you let us hold on to this money, we will create a form of universal health care in one state tied to an individual mandate, and you will get the Bush administration credit for creating universal health care in one state, and it won't cost you any more money than you're already paying right now." So it isn't that the federal government went to Massachusetts and said, "Do this." It's that Massachusetts went to the Bush administration and said, "Help us to do this." And so it is absolutely true to say that Massachusetts health reform could not have happened without the extraordinary involvement and significant financial support of the Bush administration. And they made decisions to support the Massachusetts reform law not once, but twice, in first in 2005 and second in 2008.
But you make it sound like in the book, unless I'm misreading it, that this was an agenda item for the Bush folks and HHS, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson. Would you put it that way?
Well, it became that way only when Massachusetts came forward and said, "Would you partner with us to help us achieve this?"
Did President Bush himself ever make a statement for it, as far as you know, spoken or in writing?
At the time of the law, of its passage, he made complimentary remarks about Massachusetts reform. It was mostly done through the Department of Health and Human Services under Tommy Thompson and under his successor, former Utah Governor Mike Leavitt, who was a very enthusiastic backer of the Massachusetts health reform program.
Here is more of Governor Mitt Romney extolling the virtues of his health reform law in 2007.
"Now, the great thing about competition is that the insurance companies are able to offer a wide array of products. But the good news is there are new lower-cost products that are available for the first time in our state. Are there more expensive products available? Of course. But there are much lower-cost products also. And the mandate does not require that you buy the $800 brand or the Ferrari. It allows you to get the product that's far more price-efficient and far more affordable."
Mitt Romney in 07. And as executive director of the liberal advocacy group Healthcare for All in Massachusetts at the time the law was being crafted, were you enthusiastic about the individual mandate or the whole package?
No. We had to be drawn to the table. We were very supportive of employer responsibility and very suspicious of individual responsibility. And there's a story behind that, which is that an individual mandate for health insurance was a Republican idea. It was invented in the 80s by a conservative health economist from Pennsylvania, Mark Pauly. It was picked up by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in D.C. in the early 1990s, when Bill and Hillary Clinton were trying to do their health reform in 1993-94. Republicans advanced an individual mandate as the alternative to the Clinton health reform plan, and that wasn't just moderates like John Chafee and John Danforth. It was conservatives like Chuck Grassley, Orrin Hatch, Bob Dole were enthusiastic proponents of let's use an individual mandate. And between the Clinton plan and the Obama plan, it was kind of just accepted truth among conservative circles that the way to address trying to expand coverage was tying it to an individual mandate. And it was only in really the summer of 2009, as the whole health reform controversy in Congress started to heat up, and we had the Tea Party meetings in town meetings in August of 2009, that there was this dramatic shift. And it's best illustrated by Senator Grassley from Iowa, who in June of 2009 said on Fox News, listen, we all have to be grown-ups and understand there's no way to achieve meaningful increase in coverage without an individual mandate, and people have to buy it the same way they have to buy auto insurance. And 3 months later, in September 2009, on Fox News, he said that the reason he opposed health reform was because he was so personally opposed to an individual mandate.
Right.
And that really exemplifies the dramatic shift within the base of the party in a very short period of time, withdrawing support from their own idea.
What was the conservative philosophical underpinning for supporting or even proposing an individual mandate? Why would the Heritage Foundation have gotten behind this and articulated that that was a conservative principle?
Well, it comes under, it's all how you present and frame different values. And the value behind conservative support was enunciated by Romney many times as individual responsibility, that individuals have to take responsibility, that it's not, it shouldn't be about big government setting something up. It shouldn't be about putting responsibility on others. Individuals have to take responsibility, and we need to create a way for people to be able to buy insurance, but then make sure that they actually do so. So it was the conservative Republican philosophical value of individual responsibility that people bought into and promoted actively.
John,
the difference was Mitt Romney didn't just talk about it. Mitt Romney actually did it, and that's why he's in such hot water now.
He did, and we have another fascinating clip from back in the day when Romney was actually governor and extolling the virtues of his health reform plan. In this clip, and this runs almost a minute, his whole point here is that while mandates should be placed on individuals, they should also be removed from insurance companies to cover a lot of things. Listen.
And so our plan is simply this: remove mandates from insurance companies. Now, my legislature didn't remove all the mandates I wanted removed. That's why I said it's not a perfect plan. I want to take all the mandates off. They wouldn't. That's okay. We still made some progress. We took a number of mandates off. So the premiums came down and became more affordable for a lot of our citizens. Number two, we said to citizens who are making three times federal poverty or more, that's $54,000 a year in our state for a family of four, you have to buy a policy that you can afford. And no more showing up at the hospital expecting someone else to pay your way. For people earning less than three times federal poverty, we the state, will subsidize their purchase of a policy. They choose the policy they want. We subsidize its purchase. And that way we get everybody insured.
Which is a fascinating statement. Mitt Romney, then governor of Massachusetts, in that clip. My guest on WNYC is John McDonough, who led a Massachusetts advocacy group at the time that law was enacted called Health Care for All. He was later a top advisor on health reform to Senator Edward Kennedy. Now he teaches public health at Hunter College and Harvard and has a new book called Inside National Health Reform. So to follow up on that idea of removing the mandates from insurance companies, in other words, there would no longer, if Governor Romney had had his way, be any kind of minimum policy that has to include this. It has to include colonoscopies. It has to include birth control, whatever. And I think one of the biggest criticisms of both the Obama bill in theory, because it really hasn't been enacted yet, and the Romney law with 5 years of experience now, is the failure to control costs. The Obama law is called the Affordable Health Care Act, not the Individual Mandate Act. But as you acknowledge in the book, health insurance costs continue on their troubling march, and that's true in Massachusetts as well as nationally. And you heard Romney there say he didn't get all the limitations that he wanted on mandates for the insurance companies. And they say if they have to include all these requirements in every policy, then of course the policies are going to cost more. So from your point of view, do they have a point? And if not, why do we see premiums continue to go up and up and up and up in Massachusetts and America despite these two so-called Affordable Care Acts?
Right. So something to understand about Massachusetts, the law is recognized or called Romney Care, just like the Affordable Care Act is referred to as Obamacare. In truth, in Massachusetts, while Governor Romney was very actively involved, we have a legislature in Massachusetts, House and Senate, that are overwhelmingly Democratic controlled. Republicans almost fit into cult group status. Their numbers are so small in both chambers. And so what Romney proposed was significantly altered by the Democratic-controlled legislature. And so Romney is absolutely being truthful when he says he did not get nearly what he wanted. He wanted a mandate for a much thinner, skinnier coverage with much higher deductibles and cost sharing. So that's just an important thing to keep in mind. In terms of controlling costs, it's absolutely true. The Massachusetts law was about expanding access and creating near universal coverage. And in that respect, the purpose has been achieved. It was not designed to try to control healthcare spending. The Affordable Care Act actually has a lot more in it that is intended to try and control and create more meaningful ways to try to hold down the rate of growth in healthcare spending. It will take some time to see those efforts bear fruit, but frankly, we can already see, we think, some of the results. People, for the most part, don't understand, but over the last roughly 12 to 15 months, we've seen a significant drop in the rate of increase in the Medicare program. Now, there's a lot of different explanations to that. One of them, though, that I would throw out, there was a lot in the Affordable Care Act that folks don't know about coming up with new, creative, and super aggressive ways to clamp down on fraud and abuse in the Medicare program. And we've seen some spectacular results over the past year in terms of going after some of the serious fraudulent operators that try to steal money from that program, and some significant results. And when people see, when fraudulent operators see that the federal government is getting serious, it actually dissuades people from getting in and committing that kind of fraud. So some analysts are wondering whether or not there's actually a nexus between this decrease in the rate of growth in Medicare and fraud and abuse and some of the other things, the signals that are coming out that we have a federal government right now that is, in fact, looking very aggressively and seriously at how to control costs. States are doing the same thing. Private employers are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So there's not a magic bullet. There's not a single answer. There could be if, you know, people were willing to accept a different national model for how we control costs. But we are seeing some progress, and I think the news in the years ahead on healthcare spending is going to be significantly better than people are now expecting.
Well, I hope you're right. And one thing before you go, because we've got about a minute left, these new census figures that came out this week that we talked about on yesterday's show showing a rise in American poverty also showed a drop in the number of insured people in Massachusetts. So how do you understand that drop in a state with a universal mandate?
Well, because it's not an absolutely universal mandate. We have an individual mandate in Massachusetts, as it's called, but individual mandate is really a misnomer. It is a financial penalty for people who choose not to get coverage, who can afford to do so. So in Massachusetts,
so for struggling people, half, if it's half the cost, I read that it's half, up to half the cost of what a policy would cost you, that would still be half the cost. even if you don't get health insurance out of the bargain.
That's the penalty, absolutely, and that's why there are only about 30,000 people out of 6.5 million in the state who are paying the penalty, but that's their choice, and they have the right to do that. For struggling people in Massachusetts, there's a very good subsidy program to make the purchase of coverage affordable. Those folks who are paying the penalty are folks who are not eligible for the subsidies and make their own economic choice that's permitted by the law to pay the penalty rather than buy health insurance.
John McDonough led a Massachusetts advocacy at the time that the Romney law was passed. He was later a top advisor on health reform to Senator Edward Kennedy. Now he teaches public health at Hunter College and Harvard and has a brand new book called Inside National Health Reform. By the way, Dr. McDonough, our next segment is going to pair a movie critic and an epidemiologist who you may know from Massachusetts together reviewing the movie Contagion. both from a movie-making standpoint and whether this is unnecessarily scaring the public. Do you know Dr. Larry Madoff, who's the director of epidemiology at the Department of Public Health in Massachusetts?
So, yes, we have met.
So he's going to follow you. He's
going to
follow you up.
Thank you.
And you're a good guest, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
WNYC.
And that's coming up next. A movie critic and an epidemiologist walk into a bar and watch a movie together. Let's see what happens.